Gary Alcoholic.
Hey.
Sam, thank you for welcome, Bert. Thank you for having me. You guys have really good coffee. Our coffee, like, I think it's espresso. I don't know. Somebody was told it's espresso. It's really good. Way better than ours. So I have a couple of things. I had a couple of ideas of what I was going to talk about. And well, Gary Alcoholic, my sobriety date is 11/11/2019. I have a sponsor. I'm not currently sponsoring anyone right now. I'm a garden variety alcoholic. Anything, anywhere, whatever. I would could hang out with the hillbillies and party, and I could go bet sports and gamble and hang out with those guys. I could chameleon into anything as a, if it revolved around alcohol. That was just kind of how I operated. Starting, goodness, in early high school, just always hanging out with the older kids. That was just kind of how it went at the beginning. But I have a little bit from the big book, but I was going through and looking and trying to find, or just going through some of my materials, and I found a picture of my grandma, and it just made me think. My nana was very important in my life. She was very inspirational for me. She's a very caring woman and was very influential for me, and especially in, let me see, right out of college, I got a job in Erie, Pennsylvania, and that's where she lived. So she had a profound effect on me, and that was, I mean, going from college in my early 20s, I wasn't making a lot of money. I was in a serious relationship, but I wasn't married yet. Not a lot of money, but like a lot of drive. Still having fun. The job I had was awesome. We were all the same age. We all hung out together. We all partied together. We loved sports. It was easy. It was easy peasy. I had everything I wanted in front of me, like tons of happy hours, tons of binge drinking. But every Sunday, we would go over to my grandma's and for dinner. And we would go over earlier in the day. And one thing I would always remember is, we were Italian, so I'm part Italian. We would always have pasta, something in pasta, pasta. So she would always have her water like on the oven. Like our dinner wasn't until like we wouldn't eat till like 5. She would have everything ready at like noon or 1, like on the oven. And it was just something always remembered. And I just it was just something that always made me smile. But so I wanted to bring her up just because I hadn't seen this. This was from her. I hadn't seen this in so long. This was from her funeral, and she died in 2015. And just thinking back to that time, I was married in 2012, had our first of our two girls in 2013, and then 14. They're 20 months apart. But my first, Quinn, our oldest, I got to bring her to see my nana. When she was in, it wasn't quite hospice. It's like that. It's like the level right above hospice, where she was able to do the things that she was able to mostly, but she was there about 75% of the time. But I ch cherished that opportunity for my oldest to be able to at least meet my nana. That was really important for me. So I, whenever I see this or anything having to do with her, I'm just so grateful that I was able to do that. I first started trying to get sober in 2013, like right after my kids were born, like way to go. But it did not stick. And a couple years later, after she passed away, like things got really hairy. Those years were like I loved having my young kids, and like at those ages they were great, but it didn't stop like what I was doing. So like looking back, that's like very disappointing for me. But I did come around and make better choices for myself and my family. But I wasn't expecting to talk about that, but it just ended up happening. And I love you, Nana. She's the best. Okay. So I do have some bullet points. I just have to do that for me to at least stay on where I should be. So I did some reading from the big book, which I usually do. Usually I wake up in the morning, serenity prayer, Lord's prayer, and then I just, pray just one-on-one to the Lord. And I do the same thing at night. My common solution is my home group. I love my home group. Very grateful for that. It's on Thursday nights. But I'm very, very grateful for my sobriety. I just turned 49. I got sober. I stopped drinking when I was about 43. I started drinking when I was, goodness, 15, 16, with like a few breaks. So you can do some math. I did like a lot. There was not a lot I said no to. Yeah, that's, I mean, I don't really have another way around it. I did a lot of drugs. Yeah, like I said, I didn't say no to a lot, but I try to I read parts of the big book. I don't want to say daily. That's not true, but I do pick it up and read it quite a bit. 12 and 12, I like that as well. I'm a big rereader. I don't read and sit down and just read. Other than AA and other than Alcoholics Anonymous books, I don't read outside of that very much. I should, but most of my reading is just like sports articles and things that are. Duke is up 44-29 if anyone.
Thanks, Hurley.
No, I never root for Duke, but I do not like Danny Hurley. But anyway, okay. So a couple of things that I highlighted and started my book was in It Might Have Been Worse. And this is in page 348. One reason I like this too is because over the past couple of years, it's generally when people would used to either complain to me or say something where it would require empathy or sympathy, I would always, oh, I feel so bad. That's terrible. Like one thing I've kind of picked up over the last couple of years is like, yeah, it could always be worse. Like it could be worse. And I don't know if that's something that I picked up in Alcoholics Anonymous or not, but even if things are really bad, I always think to myself, goodness, it could be worse. Because, like, things for me have been worse. Things I think for all of us in here could probably have been worse. So, this kind of stood out to me, but this says it might have been worse, which is close, but either way, alcohol was a looming cloud in this banker's bright sky. With rare foresight, he realized he could become a tornado. How can a person with a fine family, an attractive home, an excellent position, and high standing? And high standing in an important city become an alcoholic. As I found out later through Alcoholics Anonymous, alcohol is no respecter of economic status, social and business standing, or intelligence. This is one thing that stood out to me. My mom was an alcoholic when I grew up. I think my Nana's first husband had like, I think there was some addiction, though there was some addiction there. But like I saw a lot of this like from a young age. It's a disease doesn't care about like economic factor. It doesn't care about anything, skin color, it doesn't matter. And I saw that from a young age. So I knew when I started, it was not hard for me to say, gosh, this was not long into my drinking that like, oh God, I'll probably be an alcoholic. Like it won't surprise me if that happens. And looking back, like how that wasn't like a large ringing bell for me, I don't know. I think it was just because I had been desensitized to it and I'd seen it so much when I was younger. And that's really, I guess you could say it's been my parents' fault, but I would never really like blame them. It was just, I was just used to it. By the time I was the age where I understood it, like where it wasn't a big deal to me. So trying it or working around my parents to do it was not. It wasn't that big of a deal. At least I wasn't in my eyes. So living that and seeing that when I was younger definitely had a profound effect on me as I drank and as my drinking continued. This is from a couple page later, couple pages later. When it became noticeable to the point of comment, I devised ways of sneaking drinks on the side. Rehearsals, I don't call them rehearsals, but I thought it was funny. Rehearsals then become part of the pattern. Stopping at bars on the way to and from place where drinks were served. Never having enough, always craving more. The obsession for alcohol gradually began to dominate all my activities. That's me. Particularly while traveling. Drink planning became more important than any other plans or the main plans. So like for me, I always could turn or wanted to or a did my best to turn whatever we were doing into either like maybe we wouldn't pregame all the time, but like I always generally had roadies, unless it was like my family and kids involved. If my wife was, yeah, not with the kids, but like anything else I was going to, if I wasn't driving, I generally would have a drink on the way, if not prior to. And then the planning and the rat race that was just in my head of the planning of I need to have beer at home or where I'm out and planning, I can't drink too much, but I want to have fun. It was exhausting, just overly exhausting for me. And I just struggled mightily to keep it together and be a good dad and be a good husband, be a good person overall without thinking about it. And like once it started, once I started or had any or had the thought of it, it was extremely difficult to turn off. And being around me when I had to either turn it off or deal with it was not pleasant. And that was, as well, like, I guess I do. I definitely have regrets about a lot of that, and I've made amends about it, but it still doesn't. It's just not, I did not act right in so many instances, and was just very, very selfish, especially if I was ever put in a position where I had to drive. Believe me, if you were in the car, you were going to freaking hear about it. You were going to hear about it, and it was just awful. Yeah, I struggled, but it was always, I always had fun, and I was always put up the not the front, but like I did enjoy myself. Then it got to a point when it wasn't fun, and like it was like you crossed over to a place where you kind of drank to got to get that feeling back, but you couldn't get that feeling back because you already knew that you weren't supposed to be doing it. But you did it anyway, and then you told a bunch of lies, or you get up early to go grocery shopping and stop and get like two big cans of Twisted Tea and like pound them before and after you get your groceries and then go home and like figure out if you have enough alcohol rest left for the rest of the day, but still be able to function. And I was so exhausted mentally that like I hit a point where it was, I either, not that I got to go one or two ways, but I need to figure this, I need to figure this out. Like, or I'm either going to die from it, or I'm going to somehow like kill someone else or hurt someone else. And that like still didn't stop me, but I knew like things were going to start getting worse, and then in shocking fashion they did. They got way worse. Okay, so I'm going to pause, go to the next reading that I have because I'm trying to correlate. And the biggest part. Okay, all right. Sometimes I just need to focus. All right, I tried the wagon on numerous. I tried the wagon on numerous occasions, haven't we all? But I always felt unhappy and abused. I tried psychiatry, but of course, I gave the psychiatrist no cooperation. I would give them too much, and it would just, I would be like just overload. I'd be on overload. I was living in constant fear that I would get caught while driving a car. So I used taxis part of the time. Then I began to have blackouts, and thus was a constant worry to wake up at home not knowing how I got there and realized I had driven my car. That became torture. Not knowing where I had been or how I got home was making me desperate. So, like, I can relate to this very, very, very much so. So, I just got to a point where I would get what I needed to done early, and then I would just drink at home. So that was just like I took the car out of the equation. So that was easy. Was responsible as well, but like that was an easy fix for me. And it was an easy way to for me to be able to manipulate and put the pieces where I wanted them to be, which, like short term was great, but it was like you're winning a minute. I'm winning the mini battles, but I know like in the scale of the big war, like slowly, like things are not. I'm slowly having to back up, but I'm winning these like little wars here and there with the people around me. So that was also a constant battle inside my head that I also call is like just part of the rat race that just never really seemed to slow down. And like by this time, physically, I was having issues and limitations, which like that was frustrating, but just mentally, I was just like not in a good place. Not at all. All right, jumping over to pages 356, 357. To most of us, making amends will take the rest of our lives, but we can start immediately. Like with my sponsor, it was just like bam, 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 inventory. Like I started making amends like right away. And then I ended up like going through the steps slowly again and made some amends for things because I rushed through them because I was like, I gotta get here as quickly as possible so I can talk about it, whatever it is that I need to talk about. So I blah, 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 went through them. Then I went through the, when I went through the steps again and made, what do I say, more detailed or more thoughtful amends. I was married before, and I actually was able to make amends to my ex-wife. We don't have any children, so that was great. So that was easy. But making amends with her, that was like maybe 2 to 3 years ago, was huge for me because I didn't know if I wanted to overturn that rock, and I didn't know if I really wanted to be an inconvenience to her. But when my father passed away, she had reached out, and then a couple months later, I asked her. I was just like, hey, would you give me 5 minutes? And she did, which I was very thankful for. So that was one of the bigger amends. That was my biggest amends. I had put her through the ringer. So that was really, really big for me. And it was a big step in my, I would guess I'd say my sobriety, but just my overall well-being to know that I had made right for years and years and years of wrongs. I still have a couple others that I do need to do, that I do need to make amends to that have kind of popped up in the past year. But being able to go through, and even if it's being able to connect with someone on a very, even if it's something that in your mind is very small, or in their mind is very small and your mind is very big, to be able to tell that person that, to make amends for that, for me, it was just chipping away at so many wrong things that wrong ways that I treated people and selfish behavior. When I was able to do that and clear kind of some of that away, like things really began to slow down, and I really started to feel better about a lot of these relationships and better about some of the things that I had done in my past. And when you have more and more of those good feelings, and you can't always make things the 100% the way that you want, but if you're able to say what you want to and say what's in your heart, for me, those all kept adding up and making a big difference for me internally, and being able to have the confidence to be able to look back and know that from my standpoint right now, I'm doing the best that I can and trying to be of service to others. And moving forward, taking it one day at a time. I'm already taking up some of my notes from what I have at the end, but reading, just going back to the rest of this reading that I was able to like really connect to, just being sober will be making amends to many we have hurt by our drunken actions. Making amends is sometimes doing what we are capable of doing but failed to do because of alcohol. Carrying out community responsibilities such as community funds, Red Cross, educational and religious activities in proportion to our abilities and energy. Spending time and energy, I guess you could say doing what we're doing now, meeting, spending time together, listening to each other. There's especially over the last couple of months, there's been times where I've struggled to go to meetings just because some of my work schedule has changed, and some of it is just being a little bit more tired and maybe not being as mentally on point. But like when I go to the meeting, when I go to my weekly meeting and I hear, even if it's just one sentence or something else, something's very small that I can relate to, makes me very thankful that I have a home group to go to, that I have people around me that care, And it makes you very thankful for that I have that place to go to anytime, any day of the week, almost any time of day. I just owe so much to Alcoholics Anonymous and into these rooms and 2P, and it just makes me very grateful. I have a ton of gratitude for that. All right, the last reading. Above all, I'm grateful to AA for my sobriety, which means so much to my family, friends, and business associates, because God and AA were able to do for me something I was unable to do for myself. Yeah, there's so many different parts of AA that I'm grateful for, but the one, I wouldn't even say the one, is being able to relate to others in a meeting and hear about when others have gone through this something similar to what I have or to what I went through. I just always thought people drank the way that I did when I was younger. I didn't think it was abnormal. Then multiple things started to happen. A few consequences, a few relationships, but like at the beginning, I was just like, this is just normal. And it wasn't. But it took me a long, long time to really see that. And through others in AA, it's really helped me do that. A couple of things that I had that I'm gonna want, I like would like to touch upon. This coffee's really strong. Being thankful, AA, my family, my wife, my kids. I have a new job. I started a new job in October. My schedule is like completely different. It's Monday to Thursday, so I have Fridays off, which is amazing. I'm very, very grateful for that. But Monday to Thursday is really long days. So I don't see my kids very as much, like from like the dinner time on those days. And then I've kind of altered some things on Fridays on the weekends. But I like the job. I really like what I'm doing. I'm helping others, which is awesome. But I've really had to adjust my schedule, and like mentally, it's been hard. Like I thought the job would be hard. I have to learn like a whole new vocabulary. It's like learning a new language. Like that is easy compared to like just balancing things at home in a different way. But again, being able to adjust my life around, not with AA, but being able to make the adjustments in so many other bigger ways has made this easier for me, because I've made adjustments on a much, much bigger level in my life. So I know I can handle this. I'm still in the phase of like working through it. But it's been like a big adjustment for me. One thing I learned from, gosh, going to meetings with my mom. This was in, like, goodness, high school, a little bit during maybe my early 20s. She had like a little keychain of one day at a time. And I remember looking at it, I'll never forget this. Like, you have these little memories that are just burned into your brain. And I was like, oh, one day at a time. I remember asking her about it. And, I would go to, I think we went to Al-Anon meetings together. I can't remember. Like, it wouldn't have been AA. But we would go to meetings with her when she was at treatment centers, things like that. And I remember saying the Serenity Prayer with her when we were younger. My brother, I think my sister went as well. But one day at a time, so important for me. Like taking the step that's in front of you, not worrying about what's happening down the road, and like taking it one day at a time. The thought of when I really decided I was not going to drink anymore, or really decided that like I had. Didn't want that in my life anymore. The thought of not drinking forever was so overwhelming. It was extremely scary. But doing it for the next hour, and then get to and like every half, I did 15-minute segments, then 30 minutes, an hour over the first like couple of days, and then I did quadrants of 4 hours, and then I could turn it into yeah. But being able to do that, and then finally one day at a time. That is like not my credo, but like that's just how I take anything. You can only take things one day at a time, and that's just really important to me. That was something I learned from my mom, and I think that was put in my life at a certain period of time that had profound effects on me later in life. I don't think I would be here if I didn't learn that maybe at that time. or that was introduced to me at that time. Being of service to others, that's one thing that I was not before I came into these rooms. I was extremely selfish. I would do something, but I would look for something on the other end, or there was a reason that I did it. And that, being of service to others now is, it's not only important to me, but I feel like it's something that I need to do. It keeps me humble. It's important for me. I always want to have a job in my home group. Like being part of the group conscience. I care about that, but I care about being there for our events and volunteering when we need to and helping out in others when needed. Others did that for me, so I feel like I need to do the same thing for others, but it also makes me feel good inside, gives me a purpose. It's something I'm able to teach my girls, and I think it's really important for everybody to do their, if everybody does their part with that, it just makes the world a better place. But being of service to others is extremely important, and I'm very glad that AA, like that Alcoholics Anonymous, brought that to light of how important it is and to be part of my and our daily routine. In nature, I'm just a self, I've just I've always been a selfish person. I always was. And that was something that was one of the things that was brought to light. I wasn't, well, I'm not patient, but I'm much better. But how I only looked inward. It was always just about what I could either get from a situation, but I did not do for others at all, ever. It was always for something on the back end. I don't know why. It's very short-sighted. It doesn't feel like it's that, like my, like how I ever want to act, but I'm still very selfish now, but I deal with it in different ways. And Alcoholics Anonymous has helped me do that. And for like, that's another thing I'm like extremely, extremely grateful for. I think the last time I spoke here, it was a couple of years ago, but my sponsor came. My sponsor was going to come tonight, but my sponsor is something else. His name's Craig. He's a really important part of my life. I'm very thankful for him. I wouldn't say he doesn't push me sometimes as much as I'd like, but he's always supportive. He cares about me. He always answers the phone. I wouldn't say I don't think we talk daily, but we meet almost every week. We did not meet this past week. So I was hoping he'd come tonight, but he's really, really, he's a good friend, and I'm very, very helpful, thankful for him. He was at my first meeting. That was November, maybe like 9/11. Right, or one of my first couple of days not drinking, and then I decided to do 90 meetings in 90 days, which with kids and a job was really crazy, but it helped me really focus. And even if I didn't want to go, I made myself go, and it helped build a foundation for I'm hoping what I have right now, and to continue to grow and be there for others and continue to work my program. Thankful for my home group, Common Solution. I see, I was in my first meeting I went to, Craig was in, and then, gosh, that was like 2019, at the end of 2019, and then COVID happened, and that meeting wasn't meeting in person anymore, and I was like, oh my God, what am I going to do? I can't go to another different group. Oh my gosh. And then I ended up meeting up with Merv or with Merv and a couple other people. And I love Common Solution. It's the right place for me. I've had deja vu there a couple of times, and especially at the beginning. So that's a good sign, at least for me internally. It always has been since I was a kid. If I have deja vu somewhere, then I'm in the right place at the right time. And I don't know if that's true. It's just I didn't know what it was when I was younger. So I've always taken that as a sign of that you're in the right place. And that actually happened to me very early in my sobriety, so that was a little switch for me. I always trusted my gut when I was younger as a child, and that's one thing I've taught to my kids, and like trust your gut, even with people, with anything. And I any every time I've done that, I've never been wrong, like ever. That was probably, let me see, that was maybe a month or two in. Lynn, I'm not sure when we started, when we met and started talking, but like, and I met Lynn, I met a couple other people that night, and we started talking about baseball. And I had like, not that group, it can be, I love Common Solution. I really do. Like I said, I already did multiple times, but it can, sometimes it can be, I don't want to say intimidating, but I was like, on the format, I was like, we call on people? I was like, they don't raise their hands? I was like, jeez, man, like, I don't like, I don't want to get called on if I don't want to talk. What? So I don't want to do that. So it made me like pay attention more. And I was like, but I would be more worried about, I'm not worried, but I was like, all right, if I get called on, I have to have something. I have to have, I need to make sure I have something to say that's relevant. I was like, because it's like, if you get called on, you have to say what's relevant. It's really important. And then as I went to more meetings, it's like, oh, it's like, even if I am want to talk about something else, it's okay. You want to try and stick to the topic, but it's okay if you don't. And but I didn't, I wasn't fond of just being able to be called on out of the blue. So I think I ended up joining the group Conscience. I'm not sure when, but the we meet like once a month we meet. And I was thinking about this format they've had, like, God, I don't like it. I just don't. I just don't. And then I asked a couple of them. I was like, oh, you know, like, what? They don't do this. I guess they don't do this on other groups. Like, what, you know, like, well, that's the way we've been doing it since you know, like 2002 or whatever it is, 2000. Like, oh, I was thinking about it. I was like, yeah, 2000. Like, yeah, that was right around the time, 99, 2000 was right around the time when I was like living in Erie talking about like that time when I, like around here, I was like, oh wow, this was around that long time. Like, I don't think I probably, we'll just like let it go. This thing probably works. I don't think I need to say anything. And like, that's where my head was when I came into that group. I didn't like it. So I am going to voice my opinion. The people are going to hear what I have to say. And then it took me a little bit time, a little bit more time to learn. And this is not that long ago that a lot of people don't care what I have to say. They don't at all. Oh my gosh. So when I started to kind of figure that out, I was like, you know what? I can just go to this group, listen, be kind, be of service to others. Not always have to voice my opinion and just be there. And I don't want to say it didn't, I couldn't have, it didn't take pressure off. That's not the word. It was more just kind of like, I'm just going to go there. I'm going to contribute the best that I can. I'm going to listen and I'm going to learn, continue reading and do what I need to daily and on a weekly basis. And as I did that, I started to meet more people. I started to, I don't stay after meetings as long as I should. I do coffee cleanup, and I think I've been doing coffee cleanup since like I always do it because I know how to do it. I'm efficient with it, and I can't get there before the meeting or early in the meeting. So I've always done coffee cleanup. So I need to do a better job of doing coffee cleanup and then hanging out and talking. But once I understood that I could just go to my group, do the best that I could, and that's okay, whatever it is. I don't have to be 100% locked in every meeting. Just go do the best you can, listen, be there for others. And I've like become a good listener. And that's something I never used to do because I was too worried about worried when you were done talking, I was going to tell you about either what you either the way that you should do it, the way I would do it, or what you did wrong. And now that I have, I tell my girls this, I'm like, hey, 2 ears, 1 mouth, just listen. And as I did this, and like the rat race that I was talking about earlier, it's like the rat race slowed down and I was able to listen and had a little bit more patience. and was a little bit more grateful and able to just like slow down and not have to worry about so many other small things that like didn't matter. I was able to like contribute to my group in like a positive way. And other than like sports teams when I was younger, I don't really remember ever doing that and like being a contributor. Like group projects and stuff. Like I always did that with like school and that type in college and type of stuff like that. But I was never really like, so that felt feel like it felt good, and it was like it wasn't a feeling of accomplishment, but like, hey, I'm like one of the gang. And like when people like, I remember when I first came in, I was so salty and just like, oh, God. And it was just like, oh, I was very happy. These guys are talking, everybody's smiling, but Jesus God, like, just let me do this and get out of here. But then sometimes I look and then I think I'm one of those people that's generally smiling sometimes. So like, even if I'm smiling and happy half of the time, I will take that. Could always be worse. But like, I would not be able to be standing here having people listen to me talk for 45 to 50 minutes. Long time. But like, I would never be able to do that if it wasn't for Alcoholics Anonymous and the rooms and people being patient and listening to me and my sponsor. And it's just a really good feeling to be able to be part of something that has like complete like changed and transformed my life, like all for the positive. Because I knew when I was, God, I knew when I was 17, 18, 19, I knew I was going to be an alcoholic, man. I knew it. I knew I was that not that far off, just like the way that I drank. And like when I started the blackouts, like I knew that wasn't normal. But damn, there's just like, I just could not turn it off. I could not. I was absolutely helpless. And like, I've actually tried to really back off of social media and being on my phone. But I saw something the other day that said, you could say, if you had like what, 15 or 20 seconds to say something to your younger self, what would you say? And I was thinking about it, and I was just, and it was like, stay away. And I would say, stay away from alcohol. Like don't it or you know maybe it's not going to bring you what you want, or just don't go down the road of alcohol. Don't go down the road that like your fam like your previous family members went down. And I was thinking about it, and I didn't know how to word it to like my younger self to where it would have made sense, other than like I'm so thankful for what I have. And what I have now, I have to go through like a lot of bad things to get to it. So I don't know if I would take all of that, like all of that back and everything that I learned. And like that's really weird to think about. But, like I don't know if I would take that back now that I know, and especially like with the last like 6 or 7 years, and like what I have down, like what I could have down the road, being able to be around my kids without. Like worrying about like every like the alcohol and everything else involved. So like I don't know if that's what I would say to my I don't know if that's what I would go back and say. But then I don't know. I was thinking about that like the other and like I went into like a really, really deep thought about it. But I don't know if that'll happen or not. But either way, I don't know. I wouldn't take anything back right now just because I'm able to live the life that I want. I'm trying to work on to be, and I have been working on the person that I want to become. And there's no way I'd be able to do it without Alcoholics Anonymous. Like for that, like I'm just eternally grateful. I don't think there could be a group that would be more scripted for my, like, I guess myself and my thinking and the way that I act and my selfishness. It involves listening and caring about others, and those just go kind of, I wouldn't say against my core value, not my core values, but like my insides, that it is easier and it's nicer to listen and do things for others and to be thoughtful and to care about others and to listen. And I'm just really grateful for that. This was I'm like gonna switch topics. So this was a little bit after I got sober. My dad lived in Charlottesville, and him and I are very tight. And he saw me go through all the stuff that I had talked to you about. He had saw me go through that, and he knew the demons I was fighting. He went through it with my mom. He knew. And he would always offer, I wouldn't say he would always offer me advice, but it was always based around the Lord, higher power, going to church. And I just dismissed him and dismissed him and dismissed him. And that's one thing I very much struggle with. Is we always think you wish you would have done something sooner. I wish I would have at least like opened up my heart enough for when he was fully capacitated 100% to know that I did. Like 3 years after I stopped drinking and was sober, maybe a year after he was diagnosed with ALS, and then like it just like it was just a slow drip that just ended in 2022. But like the last 6 to 8 months, every day my work schedule was really good. Every day after work, I went and visited him where he was at, and he knew that I had like found my higher power. He knew I was working hard to and doing what I should for my family. He saw that and knew that. So that made, as he was going downhill, that made everything for me much more easier and palatable for when he would passed away, knowing that his message had like finally gotten through to me, and it took like a long time, and it took like multiple years of just listening and being patient. Because like earlier before that, before I decided to come to Alcoholics Anonymous and stop drinking, like I did not treat my parents very fairly, and I was very nasty to them and said a lot of things that I didn't mean. And like living with that is extremely difficult, but knowing like through like my higher power that I'm able to talk to them and like I'm able to pray and they can see like what I'm doing, but it still doesn't take away the fact of like how I used to treat people and the things that I would say because I was extremely selfish and I didn't care what you thought. And when I was doing like some other reading, I was thinking about this and I wasn't sure whether or not I wanted to talk about it, but like my life changed drastically after my two kids were born, and then my life changed drastically after both of my parents passed away. But the life I'm living now is one that they can both be proud of. That makes that, and that makes me proud and happy. But it doesn't make it any easier when, like, I have people that I can talk to between my brother and my sister, but I also have people that I can talk to in these rooms. And I would never share things like that unless it was in a place where I felt comfortable, but also in a place where people understand. This was not like the last like 10 minutes, or it wasn't written on a piece of paper. It was more like it was just what I was, it was in my heart. I appreciate being asked to be here. Like, this is, it's nice being able to be in front of others, but also meet others. And I'm really appreciative for Alcoholics Anonymous. It's a group that I'll always be a part of and that I'm thankful for. I'm not sure where I'm at on time, but I was really worried about making sure that I heard 650. I was really worried about going the whole time, and I knew I'd have to say some things that weren't on my on the paper. But I actually feel really good. I haven't talked about my dad at all, actually probably since the last time I shared, but like he was such a big part of my life, and I'm so happy that he is up with his dad and his brother. He's in a good place, and knowing he's watching out for me. But I would never be able to speak those words, especially in public, if it wasn't for Alcoholics Anonymous and support that I've had. So I'm very, very, very thankful that I was asked to be here. I hope there were some things that I said that either made sense or that you could relate to. But thank you. That's all I have.
Thank you.